Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding the best value in the right insurance. They'll search for the right price. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Stanley Cup Final on the way later in the show. Pete Jensen from NHL.com is going to join us. And what a show they put on in Vegas last night. Won the game 6-4. The pregame was really, as only Vegas can do. And so Vegas up one game to none. Here's one for you. Golden State and Cleveland in the NBA Finals. When have you heard that before? Couple of mini bones to pick about two things. One, auto racing, and two, about the NBA playoffs. Sean, what do you want to hear first?
Let's go NBA. Why not?
All right. The NBA playoffs, like LeBron James has been great. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out that he is just playing at an incredible level. But the NBA finals have been set up more by who's not there as opposed to who's here. Now, that's not how the NBA wants to have this framed. I understand that. LeBron's there, Curry's there, Durant's there, Klay Thompson's there. Right? So, but how did they get there? If you recall, Sean, I picked the Cavaliers to beat the Celtics in 5. Why? No Kyrie Irving. I mean, the Celtics ended up ascending to the number 2 seed in part because when he was there, the Celtics played at an incredibly high level. He averaged 24 points, almost 6 assists per game, and was the star of that team. And we talk about this all the time with quarterbacks. How often, Sean, have we talked about, hey, look, there's a reason you're a starting quarterback, there's a reason you're a backup quarterback. A backup quarterback can come in there and probably buy you some time and play well enough for a couple of games, but if you need to rely on that individual long-term, usually you have a problem. Well, it's the same thing in the NBA. Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, as examples, are two guys that would not be taking some of the shots that they were taking if Kyrie Irving, and of course, Gordon Hayward was out the first game, but if Hayward's out there, the shot distribution becomes different. Instead of taking 14 shots in Game 7 like Rozier did, he probably would have taken 5 or 6. Instead of taking on whatever shots Marcus Smart took in Game 7, he'd be probably taking 5 or 6. And you'd have a go-to guy, in fact, a couple of them, in Hayward and in Irving. I thought the Celtics are the ones that, I kept hearing that it is remarkable that LeBron got this team to the finals. The Celtics were the ones that overachieved. Cleveland didn't. The Celtics overachieved. One of the top 10 players in the game, not there. Couldn't play the entire series. That's why I thought Cleveland was going to win in 5. I thought they'd split in Boston to start with. Cleveland would get some momentum, win 3 and 4 at home, and then win Game 5. And I thought that's the way it was going to go. Now let's flip it over to Houston and Golden State. When Golden State had Andre Iguodala, they dominated Houston. The second he went out of the lineup, Golden State really struggled. And if it wasn't for the Chris Paul injury, I'm not so sure Golden State's in the position they're in right now. So these playoffs have been marked And nobody wants to talk about it. They want to talk about how amazing that LeBron somehow was able to carry his team past the depleted team. They beat the depleted team. Cleveland wasn't depleted. Now, they didn't have Kevin Love in Game 7, I know that. But depleted team lost. I mean, simple as that.
This is the most NBA that I've watched in a very long time. And I think the Sixers had a lot to do with that. As I figure, okay, I'll ride this out more because personally, I prefer college basketball a lot more than the NBA. And that's really, and my feelings about that really solidified over the weekend. There's just too much three-point shooting going on, and it got very, very poor, especially heading into Game 6 and Game 7 in both conference finals. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to James Harden and LeBron James, both are outstanding players. But the difference between the two, LeBron James is he's a generational player. James Harden
is not.
He takes so much energy in the first 2.5, 3 quarters of each game. I mean, there's sometimes where he'll go down the court. He may dribble it 15, 20 times before he takes a shot. That's cumulative. That adds up. Then when you really need him to deliver in the fourth quarter, he didn't.
Well, and not only that, but, you know, when you're depleted, guys have to give more to make up for it. The Celtics played very tired in Game 7. The Celtics are a team that's over 100 points almost every game. What did they score, 78, 79? And Cleveland's not a good defensive team. And same thing without Chris Paul. You've got other guys trying to make up for it that aren't used to making up for it. It makes a big difference. Now, Golden State had to make up for not having Andre Iguodala. And let's give Cleveland credit because Jeff Green, I thought, stepped up and played really well in place of Kevin Love. And we don't know if Love can play Game 1 or not. So,
and we don't know if Iguodala will be playing in Game 1 either. Right. He's looking to get a second opinion on his current health situation.
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. So, but to me, this has been more of who hasn't been there. I mean, Chris Paul's one of the top 20, 25 players in the game. Andre Iguodala is probably one of the top 30 players in the game. Kyrie Irving's one of the top 10 players in the game. Okay. And I also think that there's certain things that LeBron James does that are great. And there are other things that he does that are just really fundamentally sound. They're made a huge deal out of. There was a play where he makes a bounce pass to Tristan Thompson at the foul line. A, the decision to make the bounce pass, outstanding. B, the execution of the bounce pass, outstanding, because he leads him toward the basket with it. It's exactly what you want. Then Thompson takes it, and Thompson goes the last 15 feet, puts the ball on the deck once, gets to the bucket, slams it in, or lays it in, whatever. I think he slammed it in. On and on and on about the pass LeBron made. It's a fundamentally solid play, and it is an excellent pass, but it's, you know, it's not something like, oh, I'm blown away by it. I'm blown away by it. Right? There was a pass in Game 7. He throws the ball to George Hill. Now he throws the ball, I don't know, halfway down the floor, 60% down the floor. There's nobody within 15, 20 feet of Hill. Okay? Nobody. Oh, the pass was just, really? It's like there was Game 3. Kevin Love, who may be the best outlet passer in the NBA, gets a rebound. LeBron brilliantly leaks out. Now, he's between two guys, but Love throws the ball 90 feet. Maybe 85 feet. Right? The ball's put in the absolute perfect spot. LeBron catches. They're going on and on and on and on and on about the catch, the catch, the catch, the catch, the catch. I'm telling you, if it's reversed and LeBron threw the pass and Love made the catch, they'd be going on and on and on and on and on and on and on about the pass. Something doesn't quite sit with me at times with some of this stuff. And believe me, he's phenomenal. He's a, as you said, he's a generational player. He's phenomenal. He's in the argument with who is the greatest of all time. Deserves to be. He's also the best conditioned athlete I've ever seen. My goodness.
Speaking of conditioning, I would, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you've watched a ton more basketball than I have. I would, when you're taking, like with body type, LeBron's body type, I would kind of compare him to like a Karl Malone, but a much more tighter body type. But he's quick, but he's as quick as a guard on the court. Fair?
Yeah, absolutely. But he played all 82 games this year. All 82 games. Yeah. He hasn't missed a game yet.
Quite a few here in the playoffs. He played all 48 right. minutes, too.
Let's see. What's 7, 11? So he's played 18 games. So he's played exactly 100 games this season. And he is in phenomenal physical condition. Phenomenal. But, I mean, that's my big gripe with that. It's been more about who hasn't been there. I mean, the only reason the Celtics are the number two seed is because of the people they had that aren't there. There are big reasons why. If they go with this same team all season long, are they the number two seed? No. I mean, Cleveland might have been the three seed, and the Celtics might have been a four seed. You see how much trouble they had winning on the road. They couldn't win on the road. Now, the racing part.
Here we go.
Well, no, but I mean, seriously, how boring was that on Sunday? I mean, like, boring. I mean, who passed anybody? Did anybody pass anybody? Yeah, there's a pass on a restart. They pass in the pits. When we're actually physically out there racing, who passed? I mean, nobody passed.
Yeah, I checked in and out of the race, and you're kind of looking for that exciting move of the race, whether it's with 20 laps to go or somewhere late in the race where you have that real turning point of who's going to really make the charge for the win.
It was not a good day for racing at all because, you'll get somebody, what about the action in the pits? What action in the pits? They're changing tires and putting in gas. Okay, so in other words, like the action of racing is when the car is not moving. That's the action. The car is not moving, but that's where the action is. Really? That's what we've come down to now? When the car is stopped, that's when we all have to tune in. I mean, when I was growing up, it was when the car was moving, passing, moving around people, getting into position. Things like that. There was no passing in the Indianapolis 500, and there was no passing in the 600. None. It's like watching a Formula One race. I watched the last 20 laps of the 600. I flipped over from the game and watched the last 20 laps. Watched Kyle Busch go around and around and around and around, and there's nobody close to him at all, and the top five positions stayed exactly the same. The Indianapolis 500, Will Power won. Okay. Will Power won. Because after a series of pit stops and whatever, two people who had pitted earlier ran out of gas. He took the lead. He didn't pass them. They went into the pits out of gas, and he took the lead. That's how he won the race. I mean, that's not, to me, that's not what I consider to be racing. Racing's going out at 200 miles an hour, getting yourself in a position, making a pass, getting track position and things like that. I mean, that stuff was flat out non-competitive on Sunday. Oh, all the action in the pits. No. Okay, let's get this straight. The action in the pits? Really? Really? Oh, no, that's race strategy. No, the car is stopped. So in other words, the action that makes everybody get excited is when the car is not moving. Do I have that right? The car isn't moving, but that's the key part of the race. The car's not moving. I'm not saying what happens in the pits isn't important. You're trying to find tenths of a second wherever you can. But tenths of a second were not important in this race because nobody had the ability to catch anybody. How many accidents did we see at Indianapolis on Sunday where not a single car touched another car? They all kept spinning out.
Yeah, Danica just spun, yeah.
But they all did.
Yeah.
No. I mean, every accident was a spin out into the wall. Well, they couldn't hold on to it. I mean, seriously. Oh, no, the action in the pits. I mean, okay, let me get this straight now. Okay? When they're changing tires and they're putting gas in, okay, what is the car not doing? Moving. Okay? Isn't that supposed to be the essence of racing? I mean, really? I mean, all the great races I've ever... Okay, you know what? Justify. Key part of the race. We're going to pull the horse over and give it a drink. No. They open the gate and the sucker runs as fast as it can for a mile and a half. And if it's faster than the other ones, it wins. And guess what happens the entire time? All 2.5 minutes coming up a week from Saturday, right? The horses are all moving. That's called a race. I mean, how much of it did you watch on Sunday?
Bits and pieces. I wasn't completely. I was in the middle of doing some things, and I tuned in about 2 or 3 different times.
When you were watching, did anybody pass anybody?
No.
That's exactly right, because nobody did. Oh, no, all the action's in the pits. You mean when the car is not moving? Then why don't we just do a pit competition? Skip the 500 miles, see how it goes. I mean, I'm sorry. They either have this all set up wrong, whatever. I mean, I think they obviously have the cars set up wrong. Wow. Because I've watched Indianapolis the last couple of years, and I have been really impressed by the amount of passing, going, you know, two wide, three wide, darting in, out. I'm like going, hey, that's exciting racing. That's exciting racing. What the heck did they do to the cars this year? Because there was no exciting racing at all. None. Not to take away from what Will Power did. I mean, he won. His picture, his bust is going to be on the Borg Warner Trophy, but... If you're gonna have a sport that's labeled as racing, then allow them to race. Because that was just people taking laps. All right, we'll take a break. Come back after the bottom of the hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Here's Adam Purdy with another example of how Purdy Insurance is different.
I was at home one Saturday when I got a call from a client who had just been in an auto accident with a rental car in Canada. After confirming that everyone was okay, I checked his policy and assured him that we had the proper coverages in place. Within a few minutes, I had his claim called in and he was back to enjoying his vacation.
Purdy Insurance has been answering calls like this for over 90 years.
Give Purdy Insurance a call today at 800-677-2478 to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the best insurance at the best price. There's a claim, they really go to work for you right away. They want to take that burden off you as much as possible. They're the best. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Boy, the shooting in the NBA has been just so bad. Ooh. Look, I mean, I understand, you know, look, you're playing your 98, 99, 100th game. But in 27 straight threes missed by Houston, the Celtics couldn't hit anything. Terry Rozier was, what, 0 of 10 in threes? All right, this day in sports history, 1911, the first running of the Indianapolis 500 took place. Ray Haroon won the race. Haroon started, by the way, in 28th place. Do you know what he did to win the race, Sean?
Passed a few people.
Yes, he actually passed people. It's like, you know, he passed people. And not only that, he did it while they were moving. Holy mackerel. I mean, how backwards has racing become where, oh, no, you see, you know, that pit crew, oh, yeah. They're supposed to shave off tenths of a second to help you out. They aren't supposed to be like, no. It's not where the passing is supposed to take place. It actually takes place out on the race course. I think we'll pull in Justify, give him a drink of water. All right, get him back out there. Oh, did you see that? We gave Justify a much quicker drink of water than good magic. I think that should be enough. 1916, the New York baseball Giants won their 17th consecutive road game. 1922, significant. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that organized baseball was a sport and not subject to antitrust laws. Huge. 1962, Buck O'Neill became the first black coach in the major leagues when he accepted a job with the Chicago Cubs. Let's see. 1977, A.J. Foyt won the Indy 500 for a fourth time. Do you know what he did to win that fourth Indy 500?
Let me figure this out. He passed other racers.
He passed people. It was, it's amazing what you can do when the car is moving.
How about that?
The Red Sox in 1984 retired number 9 for Ted Williams, number 4 for Joe Cronin. Now, why is that significant? The Red Sox had never retired a number until 1984. Let's see. Ricky Henderson, 893rd stolen base to break Ty Cobb's record in 1990. Then got dead on the public address system, said, I'm the greatest of all time. I'm like, okay, great, thanks. 2001, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that disabled golfer Casey Martin could use a cart to ride in tournaments. Casey Martin was the college teammate at Stanford of Tiger Woods. Tiger back playing this week in the Memorial Jack Nicklaus's tournament. As the PGA Tour makes an adventurous trip north of the Mason-Dixon line for the first time this season. Ooh. It's warm enough out there. Tired basketball teams, man.
very tired teams. A lot of missed shots, a lot of missed defensive assignments. See, what happened was, you know, I think you're going to see actually game one be pretty fresh, maybe even game two as well, because they've got it spread out more.
So with all this tiredness going on the court, can you pinpoint some of that to, well, the coaches should make the right adjustments and substitutions at the right time, and maybe this wouldn't happen as much?
Well, I think in order to start the schedule for the final, look, TV dictates everything. As you know, anybody who follows football and men's basketball, other sports don't have this issue at all. The issue is actually getting on TV. Well, football and men's basketball are TV shows. Why is Penn State playing at Illinois on a Friday night? Because Penn State thought it would be neat. I did a basketball game on each one of the 7 days of the week this year. Because that's when TV dictated they play. Okay. Well, it's the same thing with the NBA Finals. They got to a point where they had to play every other day in order to then start the NBA Finals on Thursday this week. Well, what happened was is that once they started playing every other day, you know, game three is at Golden State. The other one was at Cleveland. Okay? So it goes day off, home, day off, travel, play, day off, travel, play, day off, travel, play. That takes a lot out of everybody. And it's not easy playing every other day and have, in that every other day, three travel days. Those are three travel days between games. So I think that's the biggest reason why you saw some of the shooting you saw, because I think in order to be really good at shooting the ball, you have to have your legs. And I mean, nobody really had their legs. I mean, it's not as if Golden State shot lights out. It's not really like Cleveland shot lights out. I think Jeff Green gave them some good minutes. LeBron played great the entire time. But I think it has to do with the schedule. You're playing games 97, 98, 99, and 100 that also include travel days in between each game. That is not easy. And you really don't want to get into a 2-3-2 scenario. I mean, they finally stopped doing that in the finals. I mean, the finals were the only level where it went 2-3-2. And even the NBA is like, I'm not so sure about this. Let's go back to 2-2-1-1-1. And I think, to me, Sean, that's the biggest issue, is that the off days are all travel days. And they're playing every other day. There's not that extra day just to, okay, to kick back. So that's why I think that you'll see a relatively fresh performance in game one and a relatively refreshed game two, because it goes Thursday, Sunday.
I wouldn't even think with that space between Thursday into Sunday, there's going to be, for like, let's say for Sunday night, there'd be rust. I wouldn't think.
No. There shouldn't be, because A, you're not traveling.
No.
You'll play Thursday. There's no travel on Thursday or on Friday or Saturday. Because the first two games are, where are the first two games? Are they in Oakland?
I would think, since they were the higher seed than Cleveland.
No,
Cleveland
everything.
Was...
Yeah, but everything goes on the record.
Oh, okay. I would think it's Golden State.
It's got to be Golden State. Although Golden State was, you know, Cleveland was a 4 in the East.
Yeah. And Golden State a 2.
Yeah, they were a 2. I guess some fans
are like, oh, God, they're playing two home games in a row. Then why wait till Sunday? Well, that's a TV deal. I mean, let's face it, you'll get better rating.
It's all television.
Yeah.
Everything's all television now.
Yep.
Okay, did I ever tell you the story about, you know, one of the big complaints about Penn State wrestling for fans is that they aren't on TV enough, right? So they finally put one on TV 2-3 years ago. It was a Friday night, and it was going to be Penn State, Ohio State at the Jordan Center. Okay? Now, was the fan completely wrong in saying this to me? No, the fan was completely right. They said, well, they finally get one on TV, and the traffic's all backed up. It was at 6 o'clock at night. I'm like, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. Like, I looked at him. I said, look, I completely agree with you. I said, but cry me a river. I said, what do you think my life is? Hey, let's play it. 8 o'clock on Tuesday in Nebraska. Then let's come back and play at 6:30 on Friday at the Jordan Center. I mean, and that's like that all season. Now, why is that like that all season for basketball?
Two letters.
Because you're a TV show.
Yeah.
You're a TV. That's the way it is. You're a TV show when you're in football and basketball. And I know everybody wants to be on TV. I got that. But also, what comes with it is the fact you're going to get scheduling that is really odd. Your fans, if you're a football and basketball fan, you have to be really, really good to really keep up with what time your team's playing. That's why I've complained so much over the years about the six-day windows for football. I mean, this is not the Manhattan Project. 12 days out, you can figure out that Penn State, Ohio State's going to be a pretty good game. I think we ought to put it on. Okay. You need 6 days to figure that out? Like the extra 6 days will let you make a better decision? I mean, come on. That was the biggest disappointment I had with the Big Ten television contract. The biggest disappointment. And that was this. I felt that the Big Ten was in a position to look at their television partners and say, hey, look, no six-day windows. We want 12. We want to protect our fans. And it wasn't put in there. It's one area where I give Notre Dame a lot of credit. Notre Dame has its contract with NBC. They know the kickoff times of every game before the season starts. People can make plans, so forth. And why are the NBA finals the way they are? Because TV says that's when they're going to play. Now, obviously, a TV partner, an ESPN and ABC, is paying $1.4 billion, which opens the door for them to dictate terms on when the games are played, what time they're played.
Yeah, getting back to the Big Ten, I would hope that there would be one kickoff time that we'll get ahead of time with way enough notice. I would think would be Penn State, Wisconsin. I just kind of quick glimpse at the schedules in terms of interdivisional matchups. I would think that's going to be the best one for the whole conference out of the season. Wouldn't you think?
Penn State, Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, Penn State, Ohio State, I wouldn't doubt we know this summer what time the game is kicking off.
Yeah. Well, I meant from another Big Ten school, but from the other division.
Oh, you mean a crossover game?
Crossover, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a really big crossover game. The question is, what is it, November? What's the date of that? 11, 12, 13?
Yes, yeah.
Around there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you want that game at night? In November?
That definitely won't be a noon kick.
No. I could see that being like a 3:30 kick. Like 3:30, I know it warps in tonight, but
yeah.
But geez, I don't know. November, starting at 8:00. I mean, yeah, it's a big game, and for Wisconsin, it'll be warmer here anyway, so like you'll feel like. Yeah, I feel like we're going south. Like you're not going down to Tuscaloosa, pal.
Well, that was their big thing last year, you know, being undefeated and their strength of schedule. And I was looking at their schedule earlier while grabbing lunch, and it's like they're really their only big non-conference matchup in September is BYU.
Well, yeah, I mean that's one of the problems Wisconsin has. But I will say this about Wisconsin. When Wisconsin, this is all about timing when you schedule things. When Wisconsin scheduled BYU years ago, that was a really good non-conference game. Today it's not. It's one of the dangers, you know, where it's a necessity to try and schedule ahead because you don't want to lose possible matchups. But at the same time, it is not locked and guaranteed that it's still going to be a good game when it finally rolls around. I've always given the example of Syracuse. When Penn State put Syracuse on the schedule in 8 and 9, well, when they made the deal, Paul Pasqualoni was the coach, and Syracuse was winning 10 games a year. It was actually a pretty good non-conference game when they scheduled it. And then there was no Paul Pasqualoni, and suddenly they were really, really struggling, and Penn State won both games with complete and absolute ease, and they were not good non-conference games. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Great to have you with us. Did you see the open last night for Vegas and Washington? First of all, it was a terrific game. I mean, yeah, fundamentally may not be the greatest game going, whatever. But at least the Vegas game was exciting last night.
Michael Buffer, they bring Michael Buffer in for the introductions. Man.
Well, just they pulled a moment from the Barcelona Olympics. Remember how they lit the torch in Barcelona in 92 where they had the archer? Boom, the arrow, the flaming arrow goes in the air, goes flying by. At least we think it goes flying by the cauldron. And boom, it's on fire. Like, that was really, really cool. They have four archers up there, and these are not flaming arrows. Obviously, they just lit up. And they fire them toward the ice, and then boom, the ice. So I was at Channel 3 the other day, and they're watching one of the Vegas Opens. They go, man, this is so cool, man. We should come up with something like that for football. And I looked at it. I said, it would be really great. I said, here's your biggest problem. I said, what's that? I said, the ice is white. The grass is green. I said, you can't see it on the grass. That's a good point. I said, that would be awesome to have Penn State play Ohio State and have that kind of open. Right, and the crowd would be in an absolute frenzy if they ever did this. An absolute frenzy. But it's hard to do with the field as opposed to a white sheet of ice. I mean, that white sheet of ice is the perfect palette for them to do these things. And it's just so Vegas. It is so Vegas. And the NHL, I mean, which means it's so different than what the NHL normally sees. And you can see what, I mean, they've got to be loving this. They've got to be loving it. And then the game itself had four lead changes. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I think moving on, the Caps have to get into a routine of holding the lead a lot longer. So be curious to see what Pete Jensen has to say about that, too.
A lot longer, but you know what? I just think that it's such a good matchup. At going back and forth like that.
No, Fleury had kind of an off night, and Cap still lost.
Well, I also think that playing at home did not hurt Vegas. Because I just think that if that game were in Washington last night, there were just so many moments where it looked like Vegas was going to lose momentum. If you're playing on the road, you have to generate that momentum yourself. At home, crowd helps.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.